24, if you would, please. Let's all stand. And Acts chapter 24, if you would, with me. The Bible says in Acts 24, we're going to read verse 14 and 15. The Bible says, "But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy." Isn't that amazing? "So worship I the God of my fathers, believe in all things which are written, in the law and in the prophets, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust." Heavenly Father, help me as I speak. Give me accuracy, Lord. Help me to stay true to thy word. Guide every word today, and may we apply it to our lives. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. Just going forward for this morning's message, many sermons have been preached on the glorious resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ over the centuries. Yet I have never heard or read of one that, what we should do because he raised from the grave. We need to praise God Jesus came. Amen. We need to praise him. He lived a sinless life here. We need to praise God. He died for our sins. And yes, we need to praise him that he rose from the dead and is coming back for his own. But if that is all there is, we are most miserable. If all we're going to do is sit around and praise God for what he's done, that's not right. Amen? It ought to have an effect on us. It ought to have. Paul, it affected Paul. He was Saul, and Saul became Paul. If that's not confusing. Remember when I preached on Elijah and Elisha, now we got Saul and Paul. They're the same guy, though. That's the difference. It ought to produce change in our lives of those who claim, change in the lives of those who claim they are believers. We talked about if Christ did not rise again. We talked about it this morning. No Savior, no preaching. Lies, truth of the prophecies is all gone. And praise the Lord, he did. Amen? His deity, the Bible says, and declare to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. See, Jesus proved his deity by rising from the grave. These other guys that call themselves gods, they're still dead. Amen? He is Prince and Savior. Listen to this. "Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hung on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. His power over all things was showed. It proved his power. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead, and having spoiled all principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them all." Amen? What a blessing. We see his lordship found in Romans 14. "For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead," that's the unsaved, "and the living," the saved. We see that he also is God, according to Matthew 25, 31. "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he shall sit upon the throne of his glory." Amen? But we ought to react. There ought to be some reaction out of us. Don't you hate it when something great happens and somebody's sitting there going, "Oh, well." You're like, "What's the matter with you?" Good news comes and you want to give them good news and go, "Oh, good for you. Man, what'd you do, die a couple of years ago?" My wife and I, every once in a while, watch this guy on Fox News, and he's an older gentleman. He has a monotone voice. It's always like this. You know, we ought to do this. And it's like, some people live that way. Christians ought not live that way. Amen. There ought to be something different with us because we are saved by grace and we know the Lord rose from the grave. Look, if you would, please, the book of Mark, if you would, please, in chapter 16. We're going to look at someone that Christ's resurrection changed. Mark 16, look at verse 9, if you would, please. Jesus Christ is risen from the grave. And the Bible says, "Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he cast out or cast seven devils. Wow, amen. Mary Magdalene was the victim of a fearful evil. She was possessed by not one devil only, but seven. Can you imagine that? You know, I've heard of people saying this person's crazy, that person's crazy. Well, Mary Magdalene was crazy. Maybe this is where they got Sybil from. These dreadful inmates caused much pain and pollution to the poor frame in which they had found a lodging. Hers was hopeless, a horrible case. She could not help herself, neither could any human lessen her pain. But Jesus passed that way. Although he was unsought and probably even resisted by the power, a poor demonic, he uttered the word of power. Mary Magdalene became a testimony of her healing power of Jesus. All the seven demons left her, never to return. Forcibly ejected by the Lord of all. What a blessed deliverance. From delirium to delight, from despair to peace, from hell to heaven. She immediately became a constant follower of Jesus, catching his every word, following his steps, sharing his life. She became his generous helper, first among the group of healed and grateful women who ministered to him when Jesus was lifted up in the crucifixion. Mary remained the sharer of his shame. She could not die on the cross with Jesus, but she stood as near to it as she could. When his body was taken down, she watched to see where it was laid. She was faithful and watchful believer. Last at the sepulchre where Jesus slept, first at the grave where Jesus arose. Her beloved rabbi called her by name and made her his messenger of good news to the trembling disciples and Peter. Thus grace found her as a maniac and made her a minister. Cast out devils and let her behold angels. Delivered her from Satan and united her forever to the Savior. May you and I have such a miracle in our life when we meet the resurrected Christ. We see some things of Mary that should help us. Only four things, and I'll close. I have to. I have to leave. Matthew 28, if you would, please. Let's see four things that happened to Mary Magdalene when she heard of the resurrected Christ. Okay? Number one, she sought him. If you would, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. Behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake, became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus. Amen. Which was crucified. He is not here. He is risen. And said, come, see the place where the Lord lay. Listen, he sought for him. Listen, here's the problem. We have a risen Savior that we claim to believe that he saved our souls. We ought to be going after him. Amen. We ought to be looking where he's at, what he's doing, what he thinks. I don't know about you, but if I was in a burning building and someone rescued me and then disappeared, I'd go be looking for that person. We see that, don't we? We see that a lot of time on the news. Somebody rescues someone from the car, or a burning car, or from a lake or something, and after they get out of the hospital, they go find that person. Why won't we do that for Jesus? Jesus rose from the grave, we got saved, and we sit around going, oh boy, thank you, Lord. Man, go find him. Come on, amen? She sought him for salvation, she sought him for strength, and she sought him for solace. I don't know about you, there's a peace about being around Jesus. There's a peace when it comes when you find him. You know those signs that bumper stickers say, I found Jesus? That ought to be after salvation. Because before salvation, we ain't looking. I don't know about you. I wasn't looking for Jesus. I was looking for something, but not Jesus. And when I heard about Jesus, man, that's what I needed. And I wasn't looking for him. She sought him after she got saved. She sought him after he rose again. She was one of the first ones there. I like what it says here. Came Mary Magdalene and the other. She was the leader. She said, let's go find Jesus. We ought to be leading our homes, guys. to seek our, have our children, our wife and children, find Jesus. We ought, mothers, you ought to be teaching your children about Jesus. One of the first things out of your mouth in the morning is talking about Jesus. One of the last things they hear before they go to bed is, in Jesus' name, amen. I'm telling you, they ought to be seeking Jesus. We ought to do that. She sought Jesus. Something happened to Mary Magdalene. Number two, if you would please, verse 7. And go quickly. This is what, and go quickly. This is exactly what the angel says. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. Behold, he goeth before you unto Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to their own homes. That's what it says. Run to the nearest Walmart. What does it say? Run to bring his disciples word. Amen? Hey, the second thing is, she sought to tell others. You know, all of us have friends, relatives, co-workers. You know what they think of Jesus? Cuss word. It's the only time they think of Jesus. Maybe Christmas, maybe Easter. It's about it. We got to tell them about our risen Savior. Amen. We got to tell them about a risen Lord. I appreciated the group of people here, people inviting friends and relatives, and people are here this morning to hear about the risen Lord. And that's where it should be. Amen? Should be that way. She sought to tell others that he is alive. You know what? I spoke about it this morning. I praise the Lord that I have a risen Savior. I don't have a dead one. I don't have someone where you can go point the grave out. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine the followers of Muhammad? That guy's nothing but sticks. And they got him in a glass case, and they have millions of worshipers for a dead dude. Our Lord's alive. Amen. They take tours. People take tours to find the empty grave. Come on, amen. Now, I ought to be excited. I don't care if it's the right road or the wrong road. Take me to the empty grave. I don't even care if it's the right grave. Because wherever you take me, it's going to be empty. The Lord's not there. That he died, she went to tell people that he died for their sins. She went to tell them that you could trust in the Lord. We were talking about this there. It's better to trust in the Lord and put confidence in men. Come on, amen. We need to trust in the Lord. He says, you know, trust in the Lord, not ourselves. Lean not unto our own understanding. Mary Magdalene, you find her all the time at the feet of Jesus. And what a blessing to see someone like this. Go to John chapter 20. John chapter 20, if you would, please. So she sought to tell others. She sought him. She sought to tell others. But look at John chapter 20. John chapter 20. Listen to what it says here. The Bible says in Jesus, in verse 16... Well, let's back up a little bit, and we see in verse 13, and they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. Can you imagine what that did to her? I wonder how he said it. It had to be in such a voice she's used to, because she turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto him, I ascended unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. She sought him. She sought to tell others about him. Listen to this. The resurrected Lord, she sought to worship him. It bothers me. Can I say this? 100 this morning, 52 tonight. And some are here that weren't here this morning. That's sad. We were talking about this downstairs when our family was together, that it's sad that people that claim to be saved don't want to go where Jesus is at. Don't want to go to his church. Don't want to fellowship with his brothers and with the brothers and sisters in Christ. Don't want to come and worship the Lord. Not Mary. First thing she did is want to hug him. I want to get out and give you homage, man. Man, she was the one, she's used to being at his feet because that's where she's at all the time. It didn't bother her a bit. She sought to worship him. All other gods are made of man, but not Jesus. All other gods cannot save, but Jesus can save. All the other gods are dead, but Jesus is alive, and she could worship him. We could worship Jesus because Jesus is the real Savior. And so she sought to worship Jesus. Look at Matthew 28, if you would, please. Matthew 28, again. Look at verse 9, if you would, please. The Bible says, "And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet," amen, "and worshiped him." I'm going to tell you, she had a reaction on other people. She got other people involved, amen, and worshiping the Lord. Before he said, "Don't touch me, Mary," but later on she could grab him by the feet, and so did the other ladies. What a blessing. I'm going to tell you, folks, if we're going to have, this is my title, I'm giving the title now, resurrected living. We ought to have resurrected living. We ought to live as if Jesus did rise again. We ought to live that way. We ought to seek him. We ought to seek to tell others, and we ought to seek to worship him. But fourthly, if you would, please, look at verse 16. "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. "Then these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication," verse 14, "with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. In those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said," the number of the names together were about 120. Now let me just give you a little bit of the situation here. Jesus is getting ready to ascend. He's raised from the dead. He was there 40 days, showed himself up to 500 people at one time. He's about ready to leave. He gives the disciples, the preachers, the 11 that are left, the apostles, the Great Commission. And he told them in Luke, "Now you go to Jerusalem and you stay there until you're empowered by the Holy Spirit. Then you go into all the world." Remember? So in Acts, he ascends. Acts chapter 1, we see that in verses 9 through 11. Verse 14, we see them in Jerusalem with the women. Who do you think was with the women? Mary Magdalene. Guaranteed. Everywhere you saw the disciples and Jesus, you saw Mary. So Mary's in this room during this time. And we find out they vote in a new apostle. And they find out in chapter 2, the Holy Spirit comes upon them in that room. And they all get the power of God upon them and start spreading the gospel. Not only she sought him, she sought to tell others about him. She worshiped him. She sought also to fulfill his commands. When you think your parents are great, you believe them and you follow them. When you think your parents are small, you despise them and disobey them. Am I right, parents? Kids, am I right? If you think your parent is a joke, you won't listen to him, you won't obey him. But if you think they're great, God's got his hand upon my dad and mom. God's backing them up. You'll follow them. Am I right? Well, do we believe our God is great? He has to be. He rose from the grave. So we see him rose from the grave. Man, we ought to listen to him. I don't know about you. I don't know anybody else that has. Yeah. Amen. And I don't know about you. I'm not afraid of Buddha. I'm not afraid of Muhammad. I'm not even afraid of their followers. They can kill this body, but they can't cast my soul into hell. They kill this body, I'll go, "Thank you," right before they shoot me. I'm on my way to glory. Amen. Hey, she followed his commands to preach the gospel to every creature. She was there when they heard it. She was there when they got the power of the Holy Spirit. She was there when the first church was organized and going. She established local churches. This church helped the church of Antioch start. And the church, I don't know where Mary Magdalene went after Jerusalem. I don't know if she stayed in Jerusalem or not. The Bible says everybody scattered but the apostles. So that means everybody means Mary might have scattered to Antioch. Conjecture, I don't know. But I do know this, that Mary Magdalene at this time was involved with God's work. She wanted to become more like Jesus. But everywhere you turn around, there's Mary Magdalene. In fact, is it not true? What she did in that room in front of Simon, in Simon's house, remember? The Bible says what she did will be preached with the gospel for eternity. Mary Magdalene is mentioned in the scriptures over and over again because she was a person that really lived a resurrected life. She saw the resurrected Lord. He is risen just as he said he would. Now let us live as if we believed it. Let's bow our heads, if you would, please. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this time in thy house. Thank you for these faithful few. It is exciting to me as a pastor to see the faithful few grow. It'd be greater if we all were faithful. But thank you for these faithful few. We beg of you, Lord, that you bless this invitation time. May your name be glorified in all ways. May we, Lord, see people make decisions that bring honor and glory to thee. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's